Good morning. That's a good start. So, as you know, Bruce and Eunice are at the Cenotaph in Newton Abbot today, where Bruce leads the service of remembrance. This will be his last one as he retires from being chaplain there. So we pray for strength for him to carry out this important role today. And we also want to pray for all those not with us today. I imagine that Graham has gone with Bruce and Eunice. We want to pray for Sarah. She's been unwell now for about four Sundays. She's not been here, I think. We want to pray for her healing. And also, Sarah Jane's not with us again, so we pray for her. And we pray for Deborah. And have I missed anybody? Say again? For April?
On Tuesday, she's got to go. They're going to see if she can. We'll still be able to have a baby or not. I'm sure you know.
Oh, bless her.
When they do some tests and things like that.
Yeah.
But she is getting mental help. Because she's getting herself in a state, you know.
And has she got an operation date?
Nothing's been said about that.
No, okay. So, Lord, we lift April to you this morning. You know all that she's going through. Lord, we pray that she will look to you in all this. We pray that she's getting some help with the mental health issues caused by this. And as she goes to find out about whether she will be able to have a baby, Lord, we pray that you will bring a miracle in her life, Jesus, and that they will be able to start a family. And we pray too that she will hear if there'll be another operation. But we know, Jesus, that you can bring healing in her life. And we thank you again for Shervin, who was back in hospital after his miracle recovery some months ago. But he's now back home again. So thank you, Jesus. And we pray that you will appear to all in visions and dreams or through other people. Thank you, Jesus, in your precious name, Lord. Amen. Oh, dear, oh, dear. And first and foremost, we come here to worship you in spirit and in truth, acknowledging that you are with us, whether we are in a spiritual or physical battle. Thank you that you will never leave us or forsake us. Amen. So we're reminded today, as we link our remembrance service with Bruce's message on worship, of the power in worship, as we read 2 Chronicles 20, when the Moabites and Ammonites are coming to make war in Judah. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, has proclaimed a fast in all Judah as they seek the Lord in prayer. So Richard's going to read that reading, and Jean will bring our other reading later in the service.
Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated.
Amen. So these words quoted here by King Jehoshaphat, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." They appear in both our readings today and a reminder of how God is so worthy of our adoration and how we should give thanks and praise in all circumstances, whether we're in a spiritual or physical battle. So as they went out ahead of the army, singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever." We thought that it would be good to sing that this morning, as it was in both readings. So, "Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King," and then we'll go into "All Hail the Lamb."
Oh,
During the week, I was looking at some poems, a lot of them from soldiers in the trenches. And I came across one. I haven't researched the author, Lucy Whitmell, but she wrote this in 2015 and obviously had great insight into what was happening in the trenches. And so what she does is she starts the poem off, she's reflecting what the men would be reflecting, so before they went and when they were in the trenches. And it's called Christ in Flanders. We had forgotten you, or very nearly. You did not seem to touch us. Very nearly. Of course, we thought about you now and then, especially in any time of trouble. We knew that you were good in time of trouble, but we are very ordinary men. And there were always other things to think of. There's lots of things a man has got to think of: his work, his home, his pleasure, and his wife. And so we only thought of you on Sunday. Sometimes, perhaps not even on a Sunday, because there's always lots to fill one's life. And all the while, in street or lane or byway, in country lane, in city street or byway, you walked among us and we did not see. Your feet were bleeding as you walked our pavements. How did we miss your footprints on our pavements? Can there be other folk as blind as we? Now we remember over here in Flanders. It isn't strange to think of you in Flanders. This hideous warfare seems to make things clear. We never thought about you much in England, but now that we are far away from England, we have no doubts. We know that you are here. You helped us pass the jest along the trenches, where in cold blood we waited in the trenches. You touched its ribaldry and made it fine. You stood beside us in our pain and weakness. We're glad to think you understand our weakness. Somehow it seems to help us not to whine. We think about you kneeling in the garden. Oh God, the agony of that dreaded garden. We know you prayed for us upon the cross. If anything could make us glad to bear it, 'twould be the knowledge that you willed to bear it. Pain, death, the uttermost of human loss. Though we forgot you, you will not forget us. We feel so sure that you will not forget us. But stay with us until this dream is past, and so we ask for courage, strength, and pardon. Especially, I think, we ask for pardon, and that you'll stand beside us to the last. So in 2015, that was published in The Spectator. And at some point after that, a soldier who'd been in the trenches responded to what the poem said. And Robert's just going to read that short poem.
battlefields of Flanders, men have blessed you in their pain. For you told us who was with us, and your words were not in vain. All you said was very gentle, but we felt you knew our ways. And we tried to find the footprints we had missed in other days. When we found those blood-stained footprints, we have followed to the end. For we know that only death can show the features of our friend. In the mansions of the Master, he will make the meaning plain. For the battle of the battlefields of Flanders, of the crucifix of pain.
So now we're going to sing, Abide with me. I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me.
Lord.
So now we're going to come to a time of prayer. And I'm going to pause briefly between each section, but there will be a 2-minute silence a little later on. As first and foremost, we think about your great sacrifice on the cross for us, Jesus, and give you thanks. We come together today to remember and give thanks for those who gave their lives for our freedom in this country in the First and Second World Wars. We pray also for their families and their descendants who keep their memories alive. We pray also for those still living who fought in World War II, knowing that many of them have lived with traumatic memories and injuries from that time. Lord, we are so aware that there have been many conflicts since, and give thanks for the lives of all who have died when fighting on behalf of this country. We pray also for their families. We pray for those who have received life-changing injuries and who deal with post-traumatic stress as a result of fighting for this country. And we pray for their families as they support them. Lord, we can't let this day go by without being very aware of all that is going on in the world. And today we lift to you the people of Ukraine, Russia, Israel, Gaza, and many other places still in conflict. Help us to remember that you are in control, and help us to be so steeped in your word that we can trust you for the outcome of all these conflicts. Your will be done. Amen. We're going to sing, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, forgive our foolish ways. And following this, we'll go straight into 2 minutes silence.
Lord and Father of mankind, forgive. Take from
So as we move into the time where we look at worshipping our Lord, we're going to sing Ascribe Greatness to Our God, the Rock. Faithfulness, who was there with those who were fighting. And Jean's now going to read for us from 1 Chronicles 16. And then when Jean has finished reading, we'll go straight into Bruce's message on worship.
As you've been told, the Bible reading now is 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 23 to 36. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound, and all that is in it. let the fields be jubilant, and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God our Saviour. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord.
Amen.
Our reading today came from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 23 to 36. And the text that I have for you is the first verse of chapter 16, 23. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. The title of the message is Worship. I want to talk to you first about the heart of worship. We must view worship from at least two sides of worship. We must view worship from at least these two sides, adoration and service. Worship denotes the worthiness of being to receive special honor. In this sense, worship might be defined as pure adoration. The redeemed person contemplating and praising God in his holy perfection. Biblical vocabulary and praising God in his holy perfection. Biblical vocabulary shows that one aspect of worship is to prostrate oneself on the ground before God, to adore and show reverence for him. The other biblical concept in worship is that of service. Biblical vocabulary describes worshippers as slaves or hired servants. A New Testament word is particularly instructive. Is frequently translated to serve. It is also frequently translated to worship. Many times it is difficult to determine whether the word serve or the word worship is more appropriate. Reverential adoration and committed service are both prominent expressions of the biblical concept of worship. True worship involves a willingness to serve, and genuine service to God must be accomplished by a sense of reverence and adoration. Isaiah chapter 6 beautifully combines the concepts that Isaiah was first brought to a recognition of the holiness of God and of his own sinfulness. Then, and only then, God challenged him to go out for the Lord in service. Then I want to talk about warnings about false worship. Worship, of course, can be perverted. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament give numerous instances of worship being directed towards false God. Satan tempted Jesus to worship him. The false prophet eventually will coerce the people of the earth to worship the image of the beast, as we're told in Revelation chapter 13. Godly people always refuse to be worshipped when it is offered to them. The elect angels likewise refuse to be worshipped. Then I want to spend a few moments talking about the components of worship. Jesus said, however, that God seeks worship. The second commandment is abundantly clear that such worship is to be offered to no one else. Worship in Scripture may be individual or corporate. The Old Testament emphasizes public worship at the tabernacle and the temple. The New Testament is clear that worship is to be an integral part of the individual's Christian life, and it is also to characterize the assembly meetings of the local church. You see, basically, worship always is pictured as human response to God's revelation of himself. Thus, Bible reading, study, and proclamation are integral parts of worship. A worshipping Christian will listen to God's revelation and commit to obey it as an integral part of the worship of God. Prayer, music, confession, and adoration are actions of worship. Certain attitudes mark true worship. These include reverence, humility, faithful submission, and obedience, thanksgiving, and rejoicing. Events in the life of the church, or the major events of a church calendar, may set the basic attitude and theme of a particular service of worship. Worship generally is pictured as a corporate experience with a professional worship leader in a building constructed and dedicated to worship. The New Testament doctrines of priesthood of the believer and the believer as the temple of God point to an equally important aspect of worship. Individual devotion to God finds expression in a personal individual worship. Such individual worship is the foundation for corporate worship. You see, both corporately and individually, believers find their own highest purpose in serving and adoring God.
So, certainly what I was picking out from there was about adoration and service. So we're going to sing, All Heaven Declares the Glory of the Risen Lord.
Yeah.
To thee, my country, all earthly things above, entire and whole and perfect, the service of my love. And then, of course, the second verse talks about heaven. So this hymn incorporated worship, remembrance, and serving.
I bow to thee, my country, all earthly things above, entire and whole and perfect, the service of
Cenotaph is on the screen in the background, and there's photos of people who presumably died in more recent wars and conflicts. So, such a beautiful hymn, actually written even before the World War One, wasn't it? So, what I'd like to do before we have the grace, I'd like to pray for those who aren't able to be with us every week. And we pray for Stuart, and we pray for John and Margaret, and we pray for Dennis and Joan and Chris and Sarah. And we thank you for them and pray your presence with them. and we hope that they'll see this later on. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We've spoken a lot already about those we want to remember today. But we do say thank you for freedom. The freedom that we have because of you on the cross, Jesus. You died on the cross to forgive our sins and so much more. And we thank you for those who gave their lives that we have continued to live in freedom in this country. So we lift your name on high, Jesus. Amen. So, the grace. Thank you for being here. Would you like, did you like the bagpipes?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes.